It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Scott Mitchell and Alex Curry, all the way from Hollywood and Vine. That's right. We are in the middle of Hollywood, California, getting ready for the Pac-12 media days, which start tomorrow. And an amazing view. I mean, it's still sunny here. It's beautiful. We're looking out at, I think they're the Santa Monica Mountains.
It's the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah, Hollywood Hills and the signs, Griffith Observatory. But I want to give you a little heads up, Alex.
What's up?
I give you and our listeners, so everyone tune in for a minute.
You're thinking about buying that $14 million house we saw on the way over.
Yes, in just some neighborhood.
I knew it.
No. Actually, I saw this day and thought it was really funny. So I want people to be aware of this happening because it could happen and it could not.
What is it?
So Trevor Lawrence, of course, the number one pick in the draft of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I saw this on Facebook, social media. If he throws a touchdown pass to Tim Tebow this year, everyone's advised to not watch SportsCenter on ESPN for 7 days.
Oh, the unbearable nature.
Oh, my goodness. It'll just be like Tim Tebow is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Trevor Lawrence. Well, because you think about the coverage that those two guys have gotten alone in the last little while. Yeah. I just can't imagine. I think we've talked about this. I just can't imagine Tim Tebow making that roster. I don't even think he's going to make the 75. I don't know.
I think he is.
You think just like Urban Meyer is going to really Scott, at that point, it'd be like producing The Bachelor or something where it's like, I say that because we're in California and I'm like, oh, yeah.
I know where the Bachelor house is.
Let's go find it after.
I know.
But when we were talking about this, I was thinking, you know what? There's no way. It sounds very similar to, you know, you know when they go, you told me because you've been on a reality TV show, they produce the heck out of it.
Yes.
And maybe they go, hey, listen, you can't pick this. You can pick from these three.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you got to keep her because she's controversial.
Right.
And even if you don't like her, she's got to be on the show.
So the
right
Urban
now.
Meyer's like a reality show producer, basically, and going, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep this guy. You can, coaches, you get these 53 men on the roster. But one of them has to be Tim Tebow. And one has to be Trevor Lawrence.
Doesn't it kind of – I get a little cringeworthy with Tim Tebow sometimes in the sense that there comes a point when you go, my life as a professional athlete is kind of average. Like, he couldn't make – you know, he was a starter in the NFL for a brief period of time. Couldn't do that. He went and played Major League Baseball. Because really, no one saw him as a quarterback.
Couldn't really
in the
do
NFL.
That either.
Couldn't really do that. Now he's coming back in a different position. It's kind of like, you know, when does it end? When is it over? And it gets a little bit uncomfortable after a while. And I think people, Tim Tebow had a lot of respect, you know, for how he played and all that stuff.
Sure.
Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
But there comes a point when you've just kind of exhausted all of your, I don't know, your relationship capital and your kind of mystique of Tim Tebow and all that, and it just runs cold and people, and they're just kind of over it.
Well, certainly we are. Like it runs cold with people like us, but you know who doesn't run cold with? Tim Tebow. He still is like, look, my name is still being mentioned. I'm going to have a paycheck somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, the guy lives in the same neighborhood as Urban Meyer.
Yes.
And he's not made the roster.
And Urban Meyer probably makes a lot more money.
Yeah, but you know what that means too is that Tim Tebow's been making money too. Yeah. I mean, the guy's been doing his commentary stuff on
ESPN. I'm not faulting him for doing it and trying because
I get that
he's trying it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, after a while, you just kind of have to go time to hang it up. You know?
Yeah. He definitely drives by the University of Florida Gator. He goes by the swamp and he reads that plaque once a week. Guaranteed.
Nobody's going to work harder to win a game.
Scott, we're here at Pac-12 Media Day, of course, as you mentioned. Starts up tomorrow. We're already set up in the location where we're going to be tomorrow. The Pac-12 is nice enough to let Dallin set things up a day in advance so that we could do our show tonight. So the thing is one of the names that's on the list, and I don't know if you noticed, this is already a change, and maybe it's, you know, it was because it's because he's new, but George Kliavkoff, the commissioner of the Pac-12, is on the sheet to interview. That's not a Larry Scott move. That's not something Larry Scott looked forward to. It's not something he wanted to do. But George Kliavkoff is definitely not like Larry Scott in a lot of ways. He's trying to make waves. He's got an opportunity to do it. My question is, Scott, what do you think the Pac-12 needs to do in terms of – everybody else is going to try to get aggressive over the next couple of years. As Texas and Oklahoma look like they're going to be reportedly going into the SEC in 2024-25. So before that time frame hits, what's a big plan that the Pac-12 needs to do to be aggressive, to be a part of making that piece of their pie? Because the Pac-12 is going to get more and more irrelevant if you're going to see super conferences other places.
I think it's all about overexposure for the Pac-12, and you do that through television.
Yeah.
Texas and Oklahoma going to SEC is all about television. It's all about how you can generate the most dollars for your conference. And I think if the Pac-12 really wants to make a statement, they need to be out in front of this and saying, okay, Texas, Oklahoma, you're going. Who's the very best next option? And I really believe it's a team like Nebraska, or I would go to some of these other conferences and say, you know, if the SEC is pilfering teams from the Big 12, why can't the Pac-12 go and do it at the Big 10 or go and do it at the ACC? I mean, there's not really a team in the Big 12 that's a marquee team. I don't know that they're going to bring more revenue dollars. Maybe they'll bring a kind of an image like the Pac-12 being aggressive and going. I mean, the names now are like, you know, maybe it's Baylor, maybe it's. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking of Texas and having that footprint in Texas. I mean, I like TCU. I think TCU is a good program, potentially could be a good fit. Oklahoma State, you know, it's a little middle of America, though, maybe. But what if you had Oklahoma State and Nebraska, and those kind of became a little bit of a rivalry?
I mean, look, here's my question. Here's my real worry for the Pac-12, though. You think about OU and Texas getting poached. How does the Pac-12 protect some of its members?
Right.
You know, when you think about an Oregon and a USC being part of some sort of you know, super conference that could end up being a part of, how do you protect your marquee teams here in the Pac-12?
Well, you've got to be able to show some ability to become relevant, and really it. I mean, the key is USC. I mean, I hate to admit it, I hate to say it, but it is one of the top five programs in the country. Period. And it should be all the time. And if they really massage it and they really make it relevant, then it raises everyone in the conference. And USC has been average. They just have.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone goes, oh, the Pac-12 South goes through USC, and it does, but they've just underachieved so much, and it just shouldn't be that way. You should literally have, like, when Pete Carroll went to USC, he finally figured it out. And it was making it like this destination, this place, and really, you know, giving it its and we like Clay Hilton, right? We do. But I just think you need a big name. You need someone to come in. And, you know, I really thought it was going to be Urban Meyer, and I think Urban Meyer would have really turned the tables. And maybe the Pac-12 needs to get involved in, like, you've got to get involved as far as we'll help you out with whatever.
They really should.
And I mean, that's one of the discussions, and we'll get into this later, but, you know, trying to keep these teams in the conference, more revenue share, a willingness to, you know, be flexible and try to create more revenue opportunities for these big time programs. But if USC it's not, I don't even believe it's Oregon, but if USC left the Pac-12, I think it would be the end of the Pac-12.
It would be a real problem. What questions do you think, like, what's burning a hole in your question pocket there for George Clay?
Well, I mean, one is, you know, what, you know, I mean, you seriously have to be considering the expansion, and are you aggressively going out and searching for teams? Do you have discussions? I mean, what, how much can you say? It just feels like everything in the Pac-12 and the, are you going to be aggressive and actionary, or are you just going to react to everything?
Right. And
which way are you going to be?
Texas and Oklahoma are not going to be out of the SEC or into the SEC officially until 2024-25.
Right.
But if there aren't meetings happening right now,
yeah,
between some of the biggest minds in college football, like if you're not involved in those discussions, then you're a dunce. You can't be. You have to be involved in those conversations about what your future looks like. You have to be able to look forward. When my wife worked at Ford for a while, they were making plans for cars that were 8 years in advance. And they're looking at these sheets going, this is what we think they're going to look like, and this is how we want them to look, and here's how we're going to sell them. And because you have to be able to stay on top of it. The Pac-12, if you think that they've lost a little bit of relevance now, you've called them the power 4.5 before, And I think that the reality is that they have to really look forward. And I'm interested to see what George Kliavkoff is. I think he's a brilliant mind. They brought him in. He's not in a he's not a guy with a sports background. He's a guy with an entertainment sports background. And that's exactly what the Pac-12 needs, and I think that's where you're going to see some of that forward thinking. Yeah.
And where does NIL fit into a conference? Is it really with players? You know, what kind of things can you do to facilitate this? Is it something you want to be a part of? And then, there's really three big questions. NIL, playoff expansion, and, of course, now conference realignment.
Right, right. It's a lot of things to consider, and we're going to ask all those questions tomorrow. And we get him relatively early in the day, so he won't be totally sick of those questions yet.
I know.
We're going to get him there, though. That's our goal.
Well, I look forward to meeting him, having conversations.
Awesome. I want to see what the background is going to help in terms of getting the Pac-12 where they want to be. I want to see where the Pac-12 wants to be. Well, let's take the break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather right now. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL News Radio, live from Los Angeles, here in Hollywood, California. We're doing the Pac-12 Media Days, of course. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.